16 items on the agenda, two proclamations, cake, blah, 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 and we're still done by 8:45.
Everybody, you could tell everybody loved everything and went through everything.
I mean,
everybody
wanted to go home.
The reconvene is the assembly meeting at 8:16 p.m. And I'm thoroughly confused now.
We like
to make amendments to the agenda and move item M to C, since we have people in the audience that we don't would probably like to get home. Any objection to that?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll take that item up, item C. That item C, which is approval of letter to Plinkett Haida Central Council affirming support for the concept of the proposed ANCEP school.
Move to approve the letter to Plinkett Haida Central Council affirming support for the concept of the proposed ANCEP school.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, may I give some background on this?
Yes, please.
So representatives of the local office of the Plinkett Haida Council came to see me as they are working with their office in Juneau to get, hopefully, get the ANCEP issue taken up at the February board meeting of AFN. And they asked for confirmation that the borough is still in support of what is going on with the ANCEP program. And specifically, they asked about the land. And one of the things that I said to them is, you know, the borough is in support of the concept, but a lot more work needs to be done on this. And our understanding is that statewide this issue will not move forward if there isn't support from AFN. And so working through AFN, hopefully to get support, will catapult us to the next level where we can actually start doing the necessary due diligence locally that we need to flesh out all of the issues associated and all of the opportunities and challenges associated with this type of endeavor. And so that is what is reflected in the support letter that I have provided for the assembly to approve.
Thank you.
It's a well-written letter.
Thank you.
It's kind of a side issue, but it's on the same issue. Well, I was stuck in Ketchikan due to the ferry breakdown. I took the opportunity to go visit the UAS campus and talk to some of the instructors there. And one of them was the anthropology instructor, professor. And he had done a lot of research in the small native villages. Most of them up north, around the Arctic Circle area. And he spent like 3 years up there doing research, and then he taught for a couple of years in some of the smaller villages. And he was not aware of the ANCEP school proposal, but the boarding school concept that is a part of it, and I explained what it was to him, and he said that people in those little villages would welcome that because the children cannot get a quality education in these small villages. The school he taught had like 7 grades in one class because of the small student body. And he gave the example of one young lady who was, he said she was very intelligent, and she practically taught herself because the curriculum did not fit with people that had with her, you know, her abilities. And she ended up going, I think, at Western Washington University, but she couldn't get any scholarships or anything at the time because there just wasn't available. And that was one problem. And trying to get a quality education when you got that many, or teaching several grades at once, is just very difficult. And he was really supportive of it, and he said he believed that most of the people in the smaller villages would really welcome it. I know there's the old, in some people's minds, there's the old boarding school. I don't know the word.
Stigma.
Stigma,
the stigma,
yes,
attached,
yeah,
to it.
And I can well understand that. And but this concept is a lot different. It's not that type of boarding school where they're forced to go. And that was a bad part of it. I think it still leaves a bad taste in people's mind in the villages, is that idea. And it's unfortunate because, in my opinion, this is a great opportunity for students in the smaller villages to get a quality education and go back to the villages and help the people.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I would just like to say thank you to our local representatives from Clinkett, Haida, for taking this issue forward and putting their full support behind it and asking for AFN to take action on it. So hopefully we can do the exploration we need to and see if this is a real viable, sustainable option for our community and for education statewide. So I thank you very much for that. And if they approve it, we'll get the letter to you tomorrow.
Did you have anything you wish to speak on it?
Yes, I just would like to say that President Peterson did send our letter that we wrote on to AFN, and they approved us to be on the agenda on February 13th. After we spoke to Lisa Tom Gillen Sr. and I, we talked to Carol Rushmore. She offered her and Lisa to attend the meeting, you know, if we would like them to. And so if it's possible, that would be great.
Okay.
I'll let you know what time we would be on the agenda.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, just for community members, again, I think it's important people understand. This letter is approving, we are supporting the concept as we move forward, and that the assembly is recognizing, and city manager Lisa is recognizing that there's a lot more planning that still needs to go on and the fleshing out of the whole procedure, but we're saying move forward with the planning. We're not making any commitments of land or resources or anything with this letter. It's just simply saying, yes, we think this is a good thing to talk about and discuss and move forward with, so we can find out what the needs are and where we want to take it.
Yes.
If sustainable, has the opportunity to be a great asset for this community.
Agreed. Nothing further. Hold on, please.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Brzanka?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Okay, so now
13D, proposed ordinance number 939, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Langley, Alaska, creating section 5.05.060 of the Langley Municipal Code relating to fire protection system exemption qualifications. This is a first reading.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance 939, creating section 5.04.060 Rangel Municipal Code related to fire protection system exemption qualifications. A second reading and public hearing held on February 27, 2018.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yes.
I have a question on why we are in the ordinance saying up to 2%. Why don't we just establish it at 2%?
That's the way it state statute reads.
Well, I looked up state statutes. Well, maybe it's the same thing. It said not to exceed 2% or something like that. But we're certainly not going to offer a partial. For instance, if you have one half of your dwelling covered with fire protection, we're not going to offer 1%, are we? We wouldn't do that.
It's up to the value of that. So whatever the value at the time that the exemption is first granted, you can never exceed past the 2%. So we won't go past that.
So we would offer a partial.
I think so. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Of an approved, if it's approved under the appropriate state fire code for that system, you know, if someone's the system has to meet the appropriate standards.
Right.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Howell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Assemblymember Brzonka?
Yes.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Assemblymember Gilbert?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, discussion item 2019 budget policy and draft schedule.
Discussion.
Discussion. Anyone have any discussion? Questions, comments? Do we have time to read it? Executive session, and I think it's inappropriate to bring up items that we discussed.
But that was really relative to her evaluation, and this is relative to the budget, so I'm talking about what's relative to the budget.
But not as discussing what was discussed last night and her evaluation. You can do it in another manner.
Okay, so in other words, during the budget discussion,
any further discussion?
No, what I'm looking for are overarching themes where I can develop a budget policy statement for you. And so I'm looking for feedback from you. Otherwise, I'll develop a budget policy statement for you, and then you can decide whether you like it or not.
Well, I like the idea of encouraging department heads and employees to come up with ideas and to sole source the efforts that are needed to run the city within in-house rather than going out for a bid or as much as possible. I really like that idea, and I think it saves us money.
So encouraging innovative solutions and efficiencies.
Yes. In fact, we've got the harbor master and public works director who do that on a regular basis, and I'm very pleased that they do that.
Okay.
And I like the idea of keeping a list and recognizing how much money is saved.
Okay.
On the bottom of this, Lisa, you asked if you want the assembly to provide direction and administration about what level of detail you want.
So Yes, it's my understanding that the Assembly is not used to getting a copy of a line item budget. And my request to you is, would you like to see in the budget that is presented to you for review a line item budget, just line item budget detail for each department? I am asking the departments to submit a line item detail budget to me, and by that I mean each budget has, let's say, 12 line items in it, and they are being given a spreadsheet that indicates, that has them break down what goes into that. Part of that is because of what I would like to call transparency in budgeting, but the other big thing for me is that I'm new, and I need to know what goes into each of the line items that makes up the budget, and where there is a potential for us to discuss efficiencies and, you know, things that can be worked between different departments. I don't know how things might work, but in order to have a greater discussion about what goes into making up the budget, I need to see what the line item detail is.
Yeah. For me, that's way into the weeds,
okay.
And I'm crunched already trying to just process the amount of information that I get for
okay.
the Assembly. I think I would wind up, the questions I would have, I'd have to seek them out. I think I need to trust, for me, I need to trust you that you're speaking with the staff to figure out those line items and finding those efficiencies.
Okay.
For me, I'm more interested in, larger ticket items that we might find efficiencies on, but not so much day-to-day operational
okay.
line item stuff. That's just my opinion, obviously.
What's the amounts that you're talking about, your day-to-day processes? When you say, way too into the weeds, what are we talking,
so
10,000, 20,000?
Let's give you a for instance. There'll be a line item in the manager's budget that's called professional services or legal services, and that budget will be, let's say, $70,000. The line item detail for that one budget item of $70,000 will be $30,000 for the attorney retainer. $20,000 for union attorney stuff, $20,000 for stuff outside the retainer. And so that's the line item detail I'm talking about. Sometimes the line item detail will be things that are of much smaller dollar value. Let's say under someone's travel and training budget, I'm going to expect that they're going to say, within the department we have 7 people going to 9 different trainings for certifications and things, and here's the line item in those, and that's what each of those cost. And then here's the total. So I'm asking for your level of interest in that, because what I am used to is a council that goes through line item budget and questions stuff as low as $100 and 10 days of budget hearings in front of a open session of community. So what I'm trying to gauge is what information do you want to see, and what do you want presented to you, and how much community hearing and transparency would you like on the budget?
Julie?
So one thing in the past, we would get, I think this is the process, we would get a draft budget, not of all the detail, but and sit in a workshop and go through it for about an hour, and it takes at least an hour just to be presented the budget,
yeah.
And then it'd be over in no time for questions, and then the next meeting we would be presented the final budget, and the final budget would then also include all the graphs, which to me the graphs are super important to see trends of labor costs and revenue and taxes and all these things that are really, really important to the big priority of how you set your budget, right? And understanding those trends. So I would really like to see the graphs and all that stuff in the draft budget, and also be given more time to be walked through the budget and allow for questions after that. So, and I don't know, how much time that is. It's definitely more than an hour.
Like I said, I'm literally used to 10 days of public hearing lasting from 6 o'clock in the evening until 10 o'clock at night. I'm not suggesting that's the way we go. I'm just telling you, anything less than that, I'm good with.
Well, I am one that walks through the budget, as you well know, and I have trouble trying to follow the transfer of funds. That's one of my big problems. And then on our current budget, we have some fund line items that are marked with X's, and you explained to me about that contains a lot of different funds. I don't know what the answer to that might be, but when I'm trying to follow the money, it is confusing, and there's got to be a mechanism to make that a little bit easier to follow.
Understood.
I honestly, I think, Lisa, I think that since it's new with you here, I would like to see it all, what you're asking from your administrators. I would like to see what you are asking them. I'd like to see all of it.
Okay.
If Councilman Pesanka doesn't want to go through it all, I just have to. But I would like, this one, I have never seen it lined item like that since I've been on this council. I would like to see that, my personal feeling. It's up to everybody.
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing to do, and when we go through it together, we don't necessarily have to go through all the detail, but is there, because a lot of times it will answer our questions about that line item, because, that's all the detail, well, that answered my question. So,
we can have an entire work session that's, you know, an off-night work session that can last as long as you want, where we have the department heads here, and if there is a question about what goes into, what we could do is have the department heads give you each a 5-minute summary of the things that are different, you know, anything that is a substantive change from a previous year recap. I mean, we'll have that in the budget information you get anyway, but they can present that to you if you want, and you can ask questions of them. We can certainly do that.
It also really helps to see a list of the age of all our vehicles and the age of our buildings, and
so
it kind of puts it in perspective for me anyway.
That's going to be a significant change. We're going to have a capital equipment aspect as part of the budget, and you will have a list of our fleet and a recommendation, you know, what it says is poor, fair, good, and you will have a list of what the need for replacement is, and then what we can afford to replace, what we're recommending that we can afford to replace, so that you and the community can see what the need versus capacity is. And we will be doing that for capital projects as well. We are, I've been joking with everybody that March is CIP month, CIP and major maintenance month, so there's going to be a much different and broad process associated with CIP and major maintenance, and we're going to be having a conversation with the school district, we're going to be having a conversation with the hospital, we're going to include we're just going to take a comprehensive look at everything. And again, the list that I hope you are going to get is going to be much more in much greater detail than it has been previously, and the expectation is that you and the community will have an understanding of what the need is, what should be done, and what we have the capacity to do. And that was reflected somewhat in the budget that you have this year, but the need is far greater than that.
And the replacement schedule.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, I'd personally, being new to the assembly, I'd like to get as much detail as I can.
Okay.
And let me, a lot of questions I have.
Well, it looks like I have 4 saying yes for detail, so that makes it a majority, so we'll provide the line item detail to you. And for those of you that don't want to look at it, that's okay.
Slacker.
I think what I'm trying to say is, if Greg's asking for 47 bolts, I don't know whether 47 bolts is reasonable or unreasonable. So that's when I say wading into the weeds. I still want to see the budget, but I just, in terms of the overall detail, what I find is we get sometimes focused down. I've got to trust that if he's asking for that many bolts, there's a reason why. And if I go, well, is that going to, you know, that's too many bolts, Greg. You're wasting money.
If you get him to 47,000, I might.
47,000 bolts, I would get it.
If you know anything about mechanics, you never go with odd numbers. It's always 48.
See, that's why I'm not in the weeds.
Raise my eyebrow.
Eddie's got to go.
I think I have pretty clear direction, and we'll come out with a revised schedule as well here for the next meeting.
One of the things that I would appreciate is on some of our larger ticket items. Say, you know, we purchased a grader a few years ago. Mm-hmm. How many hours does that grader have on it? What was the purchase price? What's our price per hour? And the reason why I want to know that kind of information is that these really major capital expenditures that we've made, I want to kind of understand where we're going. Because if we're putting price tags to things in terms of replacement and efficiencies, it would be nice for us to understand sort of thought process that if we're putting 100 hours on a grader a year, is it maybe worth our while to contract out a grader in the future, or where are we at with those sort of things? So that would help me to kind of wrap my head around the larger ticket items.
Okay,
is it it on this item? Okay, 13F, discussion item, federal legislative priorities.
Does anybody have any objection to the priorities as they have been presented?
I don't, but I, is this the, are they prioritized in order?
They actually, they are. This was a discussion that I had with our federal lobbyists, and so yes, I would say that these are in prioritized order.
Okay, well, and I'm glad you said federal lobbyists. The Secure Rural Schools, I'm very interested in. I was hoping it could be moved up, but I believe can, you're going to talk with our lobbyist.
I talk to our federal lobbyists at least once a month. I talk to them regularly. And so the decision that you guys have to make for later this spring is, do you think there is value for an assembly member and or an assembly member and the manager to go back for a federal lobbying trip or not, or should we just do our work from here? That's something I'll have a discussion with you guys later about. They said anytime April, May, or even June is fine, and I said June is not fine. Nobody should be in D.C. in June.
But we still have a contract, and is that the lobbyist that's supposed to supply data every month to us?
So we have two different contracts with two different lobbying firms.
One
we
state.
Have one state with Ray Matuszewski, and the other one is with our federal lobbyist. And the federal lobbyist provides us with a detailed written report on a monthly basis and emails me every time there's a change and every time there is a special issue they think we need to know about. Even, you know, even with the new federal tax law that was passed last winter, I guess, they gave us an update on stuff like that that even didn't necessarily have a heck of a lot to do with local municipalities. So I am on the phone with them regularly and communicating with them regularly, and they provide us with a monthly report. And normally, I try to put that in the packet for you guys. So you, when I get a report from the federal lobbyist, that goes in the packet.
Well, we go through this every year with Secure Rural Schools. So I'd like to see that pushed.
Would you like Secure Rural Schools pushed up? Okay.
right now, currently, it's underneath sea otter management, so I...
That needs to move up. Okay, got it.
And if one further on this side...
Sorry, some member Decker, which one was that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
The one other thing that I might add, and I'm not positive if there's a real mechanism to do this, we did find out today from USDA that they're mandating that we get interim funds for the USDA grant for the water treatment fund. So we will have to incur costs, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple hundred thousand dollars. They require us to get interim financing in the amount equal to the loan, not the grant, and they will not do any type of interim payment, whether it's advance or reimbursement. I mentioned that yesterday in our water treatment work session, but they... doesn't matter either way. With a loan, they will not make interim payments. So